Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/cardcalculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Hey, it's Charlie. Times are pretty nuts right now, and we feel like, more than ever, the music must go on. So, here we are. Welcome to Switched on Pop. I'm songwriter Charlie Harding.
And I'm musicologist Nate Sloan.
Nate, today I want to take a listener request.
Great.
I'm Maita. I'm Puerto Rican. I'm a student.
Maita started listening about a year ago and went through most of her back catalog of episodes.
I began to wonder if there was one on Bad Bunny, so I requested one through DM basically every month since then.
Every single month,
damn,
Maita reminds me.
Yeah, that is persistent. I love it.
We need to cover Bad Bunny. Maita loves Bad Bunny.
Yeah.
He's the 26-year-old Puerto Rican Latin trap artist who has made a spectacular globe-crossing career. And for those of us just getting introduced to Bad Bunny, I asked Maita to tell me a bit about his backstory.
He started off as a student in the Universidad de Puerto Rico. He studied audiovisual communications. He was a bagger at a supermarket, and then he started off putting content through SoundCloud.
His song Delays that he put on SoundCloud was this moody track that helped define his sound. Latin instruments, raunchy lyrics, skittering hi-hats, and 808 beats. Delays actually landed him a record deal, and then he goes on to become an essential featured artist that really helped build his name.
He gained a lot of recognition with the song Mayores. Yo no soy viejo, pero tengo la cuenta como uno. Si quieres a la cama, yo te llevo el desayuno.
Como yo ninguno. Un caballero con 21. Here we get that reggaeton demba rhythm, rounding out his trap sound and gaining him recognition, especially in his home territory.
That's when he started being played in local radio in Puerto Rico, which is a very big deal.
And not long after, his sound goes global with a crucial collaboration.
In summer 2018, he worked with Cardi B and J Balvin in I Like It. The song was nominated for a Grammy.
He goes on to collaborate with J-Lo, who he later performs with at the Super Bowl,
right,
alongside Shakira and J Balvin. But before his big game moment, people might have heard his hit Mia with Drake. Dile que tú eres mía, mía, tú sabes que eres mía, mía, tú misma lo decías, cuando yo te lo hacía. Right after that, he puts out his first album.
And then he dropped Por Siempre in 2018, and ever since then, he's had a huge impact on Puerto Rican society. People started dressing like him.
On his first record, Bunny established that he could blur between reggaeton, trap, Latin ballads, and even pop punk. He inspired a lot of people in the process. Now Bunny has released a second solo album. I'm going to butcher Spanish for the rest of the episode, and I apologize as a non-native speaker. His album is Yo Hago Lo Que Me De La Gana, which is Spanish for I Do What I Want.
Mm.
And the entire album is actually currently on the Billboard's Hot Latin chart. The whole album.
Whoa.
Every song. And the record spans some truly surprising territory. Maita told me that her favorite song on the record is Si Vayo A Tu Mama.
For me, like, the background music resembles, like, elevator reading music, and this song is about a breakup and how after a breakup, you're kind of, like, in this weird state. You're trying to get over the person, and you see the person moving on, so it's kind of weird, and you're kind of, like, waiting for something. So I guess the elevator music in the background mirrors that weird stage in life after a breakup. It's brilliant. Like, if that's the whole purpose of the background music, it's brilliant, and I love it.
I love this idea. You can't get over an ex, and you're sitting around waiting in a waiting room, just waiting for things to change. In the background, you have this sound, which, I don't know, for me, it sounds really familiar. Like, what is this thing?
Yeah, this kind of elevator music, as Maida calls it. Yeah, this is a really surprising reference to encounter in a pop song in 2020. It's Antônio Carlos Jobim's The Girl from Ipanema.
Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. Ela, menina que vem e que passa. Doce balanço, caminho do mar.
Has The Girl from Ipanema, which I guess I'm like, when I first heard this, I think I was tricked because of the sort of cheesy synth sounds.
Totally,
that
yeah.
almost sound like a video game or something.
They've also changed the chord progression a little bit, retained the melody. Yeah, this is a deep cut from Bad Bunny here. And I'm excited to hear the song and kind of unpack more of the musical meaning.
Why don't we see how he contextualizes The Girl from Ipanema in this track by going right to the chorus, which, of course, is at the beginning of the song. I anticipate a trap beat coming in right here. I love this. This is so fun.
And for my edification, what's the translation of what he's singing here?
The song translates to call your mom.
Huh.
And it's basically like, I'm having such a tough time in this breakup.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I see your mom, I'm going to say hello.
I love that.
Which is neat because it's kind of like, maybe if you're trying to reach out to someone's mom, like maybe this song is a good way to bridge between generations, right?
Interesting.
Got a little bit of the new, the Latin trap sound, the old Girl from Ipanema.
Yeah, so let's crack open this bossa nova sound, which I'm so thrilled to encounter here. Surprised but thrilled. Like we said, this is a kind of iconic song composed by Jobim and originally performed by a guitarist and singer named João Gilberto, along with the American tenor sax player Stan Getz, and also featuring vocals from Gilberto's wife, Astrut. So this was like a real international, one of the first like international cross collaborations back in the early 1960s when this track dropped. And it, like, kind of took the world by storm to the point where fast forward now and the bossa nova sound has become kind of ubiquitous and also kind of diluted. It's like elevator music. So maybe before we dig into this track, let's go back to the very beginning of, like, where bossa nova came from. And that comes from the streets of Brazil, from the carnival, from the percussion batteries that you would hear accompany dancers in the rhythm known as samba. Huh.
It is so propulsive.
That is so funky.
I love it.
Oh my God, we're just like dancing in the studio right now. But just isolate one of the rhythms there. Uh-huh. You just hear like this dot, dot, da 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 da, highly syncopated, highly percussive. What bossa nova does is take that like outdoor noisy samba rhythm and kind of mute it, turn it indoors, make it a little more introspective, but that propulsion and that funkiness is still there. You can hear it in the guitar part as soon as we hit play on Girl from Ipanema.
It's so pretty.
Oh my God. I mean, this is just the most beautiful music ever.
But still, like as music, which is, this is a little bit more like lean back.
Yeah.
Yet the guitar, which translates from the percussion,
uh-huh.
does provide forward motion. Like even though it's slow, like I want to keep it going.
And that's kind of the brilliance of this music is the guitar part is like very soothing, but also kind of keeps you on your toes. And this was literally, bossa nova translates to new wave. So this was like a new sound in Brazil in the late 1950s, early 1960s, the sound of a new generation, a modern urban generation. And it had a lot of political resonance at the time. And over the course of the 60s would morph into styles that were even more kind of outwardly political. But it had this daringness that maybe it's lost today, because what happens to bossa nova is that it kind of filters out into across the globe and eventually becomes like the music that you hear in waiting rooms, in elevators, while you're shopping at the grocery store.
Dear shoppers, we have a discount on aisle 5 on dried ham. Dried ham discount aisle 5.
Yeah, this is just music like designed to just chill you out, right? It's still pretty cool. I dig it.
Yeah,
it's lost some of that vitality and sense of wonder, I think.
It definitely sounds like it's coming out of a loudspeaker.
Okay, so fast forward now to Bad Bunny. It's like, I feel like when he uses this today, we collapse all of those multiple resonances, right? The noisy samba carnival, the new wave bossa nova from João Gilberto, the elevator music that it becomes. Like we're hearing a whole history of sound in just that little clip.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. It makes me think of a fun little side note, which is that Bad Bunny is actually a fairly political figure. This might be reaching a little bit, but not only has he been a supporter of many causes, but when Puerto Rico went through what was called Telegram Gate, when the governor of the island had a bunch of texts that went public and had a bunch of homophobic things in them, spoke poorly of his political rivals and said that he was going to manipulate the media in them. Bad Bunny comes out with a track called Afilando los Cachillos, which I definitely said wrong, but definitely translates to sharpening the knives. People in Puerto Rico thought this was very exciting. He's someone who, actually Maita told me, really embraces his heritage, speaks very positively of Puerto Rico, and has a strong political following.
Cool. Yeah, I saw him perform on Jimmy Fallon, and he wore a skirt and a T-shirt that commemorated a Puerto Rican trans activist who was killed. And I was like, wow, this guy is really bringing the heat here. I mean, he's not afraid to speak his mind.
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes him so attractive to this young generation.
Yeah, and an interesting wrinkle to his use of this bossa nova sample in this song.
Yeah. Okay, I want to go deeper into this song because there's a lot more here. One thing that immediately caught my ear was how, I guess you could feel like maybe the song is like reductive or simple because it has this elevator thing. It's like kind of a sample. And then the chord progression.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I clocked that.
Yeah. What did you hear?
It's 1-6-4-5.
The ice cream changes.
50s progression used in everything from Blue Moon.
You saw me standing alone.
To Rebecca Black's Friday. To DJ Khaled's I'm the One.
I'm the one. I'm the only one.
Another one.
It is the chord progression that will not die.
Yeah.
It is like, totemic pop progression.
So he's actually altered the Girl from Ipanema piece.
Yes.
To sort of mold into this 50s sound.
Yeah, and this sort of pop sensibility, I guess.
Do you want to play that for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. I thought you'd never ask. So here's the chord progression of the original Girl from Ipanema. And here's the chord progression used on the Bad Bunny track.
would say that that was even generous. You added, you add some nice embellishments. The girl from
I can't help it. Yeah,
the girl from Ipanema has many more jazzy chords.
Yes.
A lot of those extensions and fun things that add color. His version, more in the elevator music tradition, really sort of strips down those more jazzy sounds, simplifies it, makes it palatable, and yet. You know, this idea of sort of like translating calling your mom. It's like, well, maybe your mom like knows the 1-6-4-5 1950s chord progression. Like,
This is like, this is a track meant to appeal to everyone. And if you want to do that, you go no further than that 1-6-4-5 chord progression.
But I want to establish that this is not at all a reductive song. In fact, I think he's doing some incredibly creative things with how he actually structures his song.
Mm.
While the backing music is, you know, somewhat predictable, right? Like, we have that plus our trap beat.
Yeah, and we kind of felt, we knew when that was coming.
Yeah.
Doesn't dull the impact of it.
What holds our interest is Bad Bunny himself.
Mm.
Now, even as someone who doesn't actually know what he's singing, I have to go and look it up.
Sure.
I'm constantly cued into his voice.
Yes.
Because he has this sort of magical quality of never giving you the same thing twice.
Hmm.
If you think about the structure of this song, you could kind of slice and dice it any way you want. But the way that I hear it, rather than like a verse, chorus, bridge, chorus, chorus kind of structure, the only way I could think of this was like an A, B, C, D, E, A.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That was alphabet soup. One more time.
A, B, C, D, E, A.
A, B, C, D, E, A.
Yeah, okay. Let me play this out for you.
Yeah.
So he opens the song with an A phrase. This is the what I would sort of call, it's the hook. So, you know, the chorus material.
Right.
It's a nice hook.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, but once this section is over, he moves into totally different vocal territory. Here's the B phrase.
That was like kind of angelic.
Yeah.
And not something we've heard before. Just kind of a surprising new melody.
I love how he holds that note up, even though it's auto-tuned, like it sounds kind of vulnerable.
Totally.
You know?
And also the way he kind of like, you can hear his aspiration, like I mean, by that I mean his breath, like like this, there's something very, vulnerable is a nice word.
He's aspiring and aspiring, aspiring to find this ex-lover.
Okay. Then, easy.
Then he picks it up.
Yeah.
He moves into a C part, which is sort of this spoken, rapped kind of verse.
Cool.
Yeah.
A, B, C, I see. So every section gets a new letter because every section presents a totally new melody.
And and not only melody, it's like everything about the performance evolves.
Yeah.
He, at the end of that phrase, you can hear actually supporting him has these fireworks going off because things are about to get celebratory. We're going to move into his D phrase. He's going to up the ante and speed up the rhythm.
Yeah. Right? Okay. I see what you mean. It's like we've been accelerating and now we're just getting this like rapid fire machine gun burst of rhythmic sound.
Yeah.
Cool.
I don't even know how to describe the new vocal space that he goes into in what I think is a sort of E section.
Okay.
Yet new material.
Yeah.
There are yet more things that happen even after this.
Yeah.
So I think it might be like an A, B, C, D, E, F, G, like keeps on going on and on until he finally returns back to the introductory material that he establishes. Another way of thinking about this is just like this song performed by anybody else. Like I feel like any one of his phrases any one of those sections,
yeah,
could be extracted and be a chorus in of itself that could be a repeating section. They're all so hooky,
yeah,
that like anyone could have their own favorite moment that they want to sing from this.
Yeah.
I think that's wicked cool.
Right. This song is like structured like a sandwich is what you're telling me.
It's we have a sandwich.
The
structure.
A section is like one piece of bread. And then we get all these different ingredients. And every section is like a new ingredient. So you're never repeating one.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, lettuce, cheese, tomato, onion,
dried ham,
pickles
from aisle five,
and then eventually you get to the other slice of bread, which is the very end of the song, and he repeats the initial opening hook.
Let's not debate about mayo.
Yeah,
keep that to the side.
That's gonna get way too contentious. That's cool, and a very, like you said, I mean, a very unusual kind of approach to song form, which tends to be, you know, you get like lettuce, tomato, onion.
Lettuce, tomato, onion.
Yeah.
So what I really enjoy here is that we can hear on one level something which is immediately approachable, something that your mom's gonna like,
mm-hmm.
and yet you never want to turn this song off because you never know where it's gonna go.
Yeah.
Right? Across its 2 minutes and 50 seconds, it's just hook after hook after hook. And Bad Bunny has me totally convinced.
Yeah.
He's somebody for whom lots of other critics have said that his voice is sort of like a one note thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think this song proves that he has many notes that he can hit
with
a very recognizable vocal timbre.
Right on. Cool.
Support for this show comes from Art Beats and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Colt Creative. Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual past while also revealing their distinct roles within art, beats, and lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art, Beats, and Lyrics now on Hulu.
Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.
Apple Card is the perfect cashback rewards credit card. You earn up to 3% daily cash on every purchase every day. That's 3% on your favorite products at Apple, 2% on all other Apple Card with Apple Pay purchases, and 1% on anything you buy with your titanium Apple Card or virtual card number. Visit apple.co/card calculator to see how much you can earn. Apple Card issued by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, Salt Lake City branch, subject to credit approval. Terms apply.
Bad Bunny's new album is enormous. 20 songs long. I could not begin to be exhaustive about it, or his repertoire or history. Those are all things people should go deeper into because they're really fabulous.
There's
a lot of fun music here. I really enjoyed preparing for this piece, getting to listen through his entire discography. Yeah.
Did you check out some of his eyewear too? That's a really fun part about the Bad Bunny.
I am not a bespectacled
iconography
person,
yeah.
But as someone as looking
he's
at
got,
one right
he's
now,
he's got some amazing spectacles. Doesn't anyway, he? As you were, please continue. Yeah.
What I do want to do with you, Nate, is I want to look at just three songs that stand out to me because I think that they take his Latin trap and reggaeton sort of sound into a new domain.
Cool.
The first song I enjoy is called Solia, and the whole thing here is great, but I actually want to go to the end of the song.
Yeah. Whoa.
Throughout this whole piece.
Bad Bunny Bear.
Bad Bunny Bear. I love that. Yeah, totally. This is a vocoder sound. This is the, which it was created quite a long time ago, but it's definitely associated with Bon Iver.
Imogene Heap.
Imogen Heap. We hear it on a lot of Zed tracks as well. Yeah. There's a lot of sort of EDM-inspired sounds on that particular song.
That was cool, yeah.
The reference that my ear immediately went to, it's one of my favorite songs of all time, Something About Us by Daft Punk.
I might not be the right one. It might not be the right time. But there's something about us I've got to do. Some kind of secret I will share.
In a similar sort of way, Bad Bunny's voice begins auto-tuned, becomes more robotic, and then just turns into this harmony of vocoderie alien bliss.
Yeah. I mean, he's taken to a much higher level than Daft Punk.
Oh, here. It's huge. Yeah. Like, it feels like you're surrounded by it.
Yeah. It's cool. It's very disorienting in a very cool way.
Yeah. Okay, so some really interesting sound design choices and new ways of expanding on his vocal.
Yeah, I like
that. Solia. He has this other song. I have no idea how to say it. It is the letter P, then the letter F, K, N, then the letter R. I think it might stand for something.
Frishing Canary.
That's exactly right. More important than the song title, P, F, K, N, R, is what's happening in the music.
Yeah. Hey, si no sabes de dónde soy, no me ronques, no. Si no sabes de dónde soy, si no sabes. No me ronques. Si no sabes de dónde soy.
So it opens with this really beautiful Latin-style guitar.
Yeah.
But it's definitely like pitched down, maybe slowed down, definitely transmuted.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I don't know how to put my finger on it. I like it.
Kind of like if...
I mean, it doesn't even... It sounds like almost like a koto or something. Or
oh, interesting.
This is the second time in a month that we've been stumped by...
A string instrument.
A mystery on Harry Styles' album, I think. that, I think, a listener suggested that was a dulcimer.
Huh.
So, once again, let's rely on listeners to inform us what we're hearing.
Okay, but this cool sound that I really enjoyed then gets overtaken by this really gnarly bass. It's really dark and menacing, that low, sludgy bass that's going on.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Dude, this song is P fucking R. Puerto Rico, PR.
Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Okay.
I mean, it's just like with band names these days. You get the name, you get no vowels, you get the ampersand.
Well, no, you misrepresent. Now that I'm looking at it, it's P space FKN space R. That's
absolutely
clear.
Correct.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, this song still rules. It goes on and adds in this 808 kick drum thing that I just am enamored by.
Yeah, it's deep. That's subterranean.
Right?
That is the nether regions, and I dig it. Yeah.
You know what that makes me think of? Uh-huh. It's almost like a bass player like sliding around on the neck, kind of sound, right?
At the edges of audibility, too.
Yeah. But here what it is, it's actually someone taking the 808 drum machine, which usually sounds like just a kick, drawing it out so it has this really long release, and then introducing glide so that every time a note higher than it occurs, rather than going like one note, then the other, instead you get this just like deep moving sort of, as you put out there, like subterranean bass that doesn't stick to any one pitch, just gliding.
It's unbroken. Portamento. Lure.
Yeah.
In French. Yeah. Gliding, glissando. Cool. Uninterrupted. Yeah.
Okay, last one of the three that really stood out to me is Sapphira. For me, this is the sicko mode of Latin trap.
Blah, 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 blah. Yo, 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 yo.
So we got this intro with this like dubstepy trap horn feel that then moves into a reggaeton beat. It's kind of unsettling.
Yeah, it's a little sludgy.
Yeah, totally. The song literally devolves a minute in and becomes a synthy 80s dembo beat. Mira, dímelo, DJ Yorma. ¿Qué tú te crees? Jodio cabrón. Yo hago lo que me da la gana. Y se lo conejo. Hoy se bebe. Then the song goes into this totally unfamiliar territory once again, and we get a really cool reference from the early aughts. And the song devolves from there.
Mm.
Did you catch the reference?
Dun, 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 dun. That thing? The little bongra?
That's Missy Elliott's Get Your Freak On.
Produced by Timbaland.
What's neat here is you have this kind of like Indian bongra rhythm-based track translated into a Latin trap world, accompanied by these actually like major sounding almost like reggae like guitars happening in the background, and some menacing, truly menacing symphonic strings that to me sound like they're out of the movie Jaws. Like, what is happening here?
Well, this song, if the first track was a sandwich, this one is like a stew. And just everything mixed in together. Delicious. No, both are delicious.
Yeah.
But, you know, slightly different.
You know, I wouldn't want to end on a monster of a song.
Yeah.
Now, this is an exciting monster. This is a monster movie I want to go see.
Yeah.
This is a song to listen to again and again and again.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just take a note of his final song on the album. Another song that there's no proper way to pronounce because it is the sign less than followed by the number 3.
Cool.
So those look like a heart.
Mm, right, right.
Gracias. Gracias. Hey. Gracias a todo el que creyó en mí. Desde el primer día, desde antes que saliera con una compañía, desde antes que supieran lo que ustedes ya sabían.
Ooh, yeah.
Pretty.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
I mean, so this album has like every shade of color and tone on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm about to go on a big road trip. I'm excited to spin this.
Yeah.
This has been really, you know, Bad Bunny is an artist that I've wanted to know more about, and so I'm glad that Maita and you have sort of made that happen in this episode. And I think it's a good moment for us to recognize that, you know, the language of this material might be foreign to us, but the sounds here are not. And this is popular music. This is top 40 hits that we're listening to right here. And we have an obligation to do our best to unpack it, bad Spanish and all. And I'm thrilled to get to know the sounds of this album better.
Go check it out. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Switched On Pop is produced by me, Charlie Harding.
And me, Nate Sloan.
We've got a fabulous team. Our producers are Bridget Armstrong and Megan Lubin. We're engineered, mixed, and mastered by Brandon McFarlane. Illustrations by Iris Gottlieb. And social media by Abby Barr. Our executive producers are Nishat Kerwa and Liz Nelson. We're a part of the Vox Media Podcast Network.
You can find us on Twitter at Switched On Pop. Reach out, tell us what you've been listening to, what you want to hear about. We love talking to you on there. We'll be back in another week with a brand new episode about the most popular song in the world. Here's a hint. It starts like this. Happy.
It happens to be your least favorite song ever made.
But it will be my birthday, so it's unavoidable. And until then,
thanks for listening.
Support for this show comes from Art, Beats, and Lyrics, a new documentary from Vox Creative along with Jack Daniel's Tennessee Honey and Cult Creative.
Directed by Bill Horace, Art Beats and Lyrics showcases how a humble art show has grown into a cultural phenomenon. The film unveils the origin stories of the event's founder, Jabari Graham, and its curator, Dwayne W. Wright, exploring how Atlanta has shaped their individual paths while also revealing their distinct roles within Art Beats and Lyrics. The documentary follows Jabari W. and several of this year's feature artists as they gear up for ABNL's 20th anniversary tour, captivating thousands of fans at each and every show. Stream Art Beats and Lyrics now on Hulu. Please drink responsibly. Whiskey Specialty, 35% alcohol by volume, Jack Daniel's Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee. Jack Daniel's and Tennessee Honey are registered trademarks. 2024 Jack Daniel's, all rights reserved.